what an effort that is. A wonderful goal, Matthijs.
Brighton Albion have promoted to the Championship.
Middlesbrough's Premier League exile is over.
Any managers, hit me up on the WhatsApp.
Hello and welcome to the 72 show. I'm your host Anthony Kendrick and I'm joined by Cheltenham assistant manager Ross Milton. Hey Ross, are you well?
Yeah, good, thanks Anthony.
Yeah, really good, thanks. Glad to finally be back on the 72 show. It's the first show of the season. I guess we'll kick off with a bit about Cheltenham. You've obviously back in the Football League this season after winning the conference last year.
Yeah, huge relief. It was a remit from the chairman. Straight away, he named it bounce back season. So, I think we were the first side to do it for 25 years or something like that. To go straight back up as champions anyway. Huge relief because, the club, we wouldn't like to have really thought about what the club was going to be if we hadn't gone back up, because, I might have struggled a little bit, so we had to do it in the first time, really, and we got through in the end. It was very close all the way through the season, up to Forest Green, up to about 4 weeks to go. I think we did about 6 weeks to go, was it, something like that? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
At the end of the season, won it about a month ago, and I think we were neck and neck with Forest Green then. And then we luckily managed to continue our form, and they petered away, so we ended up winning quite comfortably by 12 points. But believe me, it was nip and tuck for a lot of it. So, but it was great to go the line, and fantastic team that took me back to when we got promoted when I was a player before, and it was good to see the club back in the Football League.
I guess it was a shame Forest Green lost in the playoff final against Grimsby.
Yeah, we said that all along. We said that whoever misses out of us, because we were 10 points ahead of the nearest third place. So we were saying at the time, whoever misses out is going to take a lot of recovery. And they had the manager Aidy Pennant got sacked before the last game of the season. So the chairman obviously didn't think that Aidy could take him much further. And it was a real tough one for them as a club to take, really, all around. I think it would have been for us. So we were just lucky that and pleased that it was us that were fortunate ones that managed to win the league. So, and that, I think we said that it was always such a tough league that only one place. I do think that should be stretched to two, but maybe that's something in the future.
Are you still thinking that now, being in the League Two? Because then that would mean.
I do. I think it should be. I think it should be. Yeah, probably just, I know there was like the playoff situation, don't they? It adds a bit of drama, but why not just have just two go straight up and do the playoffs in the conference? Really add a lot of, because some of it's done for finance, some of it's done for drama. We've had a lot of finance to the teams. I don't really think so. I think it's just more to finish the first and second, but they should go straight up. And if they the Football League and the conference deem it suitable to add a third and through a playoff, then so be it. But it would keep all the Football League clubs on their toes, and plus now there's more money available to teams that go down. I think the payments another year or two longer, and it's higher as well, so there's a better chance of teams going down getting back up. I think we were the last ones that it was under the old system where there was just a 1 year half payment from the Football League, and then after that it was gone. So it's going to be a lot easier in the future for Football League clubs to get back.
I guess it's a question with having playoffs at all, though, a question of whether football should be fair or whether it should be exciting and dramatic.
Yeah, some of that balance in there. They have it in rugby, don't they, where they play all year for the Premier League part, the Premiership, and then they have a playoff, and it can sometimes, under Gloucester, the team local to me, they won it by a streak, something like, 10, 15 years ago, and they end up getting thrashed in the final by loss, and think, didn't get anything for their season's reward, so. For the season's effort. So, it's a fine line, and I certainly think that, it's great when you go to the Championship, and for the Premier League, they do add a whole lot of drama, and in their own way the conference do, because it's getting into the Football League. But I do wonder whether you actually have to need the player for that, or just too straight up or too in a playoff. I don't know where it's going to go in the future, but certainly for the rest of the time being, it's set it is one up and, you know, one in the playoff.
It is a strange system. I know. I think I spoke to you about it last time you were on, the fact that three teams get relegated from the Championship, four from League One, two from League Two. It's a strange. I've done a bit of research and I've never been able to find a proper reason why it's the case. It's just that it's always been that way.
Yeah, it's a strange one. There's no sort of regularity with it format, is there? You know, it's it's an odd one. It's up and down, and you know, I haven't researched across other European leagues or whatever, but I'm pretty sure it's probably more regular than what we do. It probably goes back in tradition a little bit, where, you know, a few years back, when no one went up from the conference, so, you know, it's in the last sort of 20 years, isn't it, or so, just 20 some years that things have started going up and down.
Yeah. Just want to talk a bit about Cheltenham so far this season then. Yes. Currently 17th in the league, 6 points so far. Are you happy with what's the season so far?
Yeah, fairly happy. I mean, we knew it was, you know, obviously going to be slightly different. I think we've been unfortunate that we could have had a few more points than what we've had. You know, I look at Saturday's game against Plymouth. You know, we looked at Plymouth and thought that they've been going through teams quite regularly, you know, quite well really, and they've got some, you know, certainly some good forwards, but we went there and played really well, and we probably deserved the point there, and we lost in the last minute. And, you know, it's tough to take away a 92nd-minute goal, which would have seen us, you know, back up to mid-table, really, pretty much. So, you know, that's an unfortunate one. And then there is, you know, the higher you go, the margin for a victory get shorter. You know, if you look at, you know, when you go to the Premier League, the Man City Man United game at the weekend, that's going to be, there's going to be hardly anything in it. It's just going to be the odd thing here and there. And, you know, the higher you go, the more you notice it. And, you know, coming out of the conference, you already notice that the games are tighter. There's the odd goal in it. There's not, you know, very rarely do teams trounce other teams. And we've just got to get ourselves around that mindset that, you know, you've got to take everything that you can from the games. And probably really where we just fell short a little bit, you know, we had three draws we started off with. Carlisle we went to, and, you know, they played really well against us. They did when we got away one that night, and they scored it against us in the 89th minute, I think. So, you know, all the games have been real tight, and it hasn't helped us losing Dan Holman. It was our talisman, really, at the end of the season. Scored 16 and 18 games. He just had a toe operation, so he was a few weeks out yet. So we need him to come back, and, you know, four goals from our first six games tells us where we need to do better, and certainly in the forward area, so whether that be the forwards or the midfields or defenders coming up to set plays. But overall, you know, we've got to be fairly happy. I think, you know, the lads have been a pretty confident. They know they can play in the league, and, you know, we've got a few babies on some league football, so it's a quick learning curve for them, but, you know, we're pretty confident that we can do well.
You've pretty much used all my notes, which I had written. There's an article, Gary Johnson was talking to the BBC, the manager, and he was saying about the goals is an issue, that you need to have more attempts at goal score more. Because defensively, I guess it's been all right. It's just, well, you look at the stats in the table and it just seems to be not scored enough.
Yeah, I mean, we're goal difference is zero, so, you know, that shows you we're tight, we're not conceding too many. And you know, we brought in Russell Griffiths from Everton on loan, who's a fantastic keeper, England under 20s, I think 21s. So he, you know, he's done really well. He followed up from Dylan Phillips last year, who's fantastic, from Charlton, and Russell's been great. And then in front of them, the defenders have been really good, really solid, really tight, and they've probably been our star performers, those four or five that we've got there. And then in front, you know, the front sort of five or so, you know, it can't fault their effort. It's just, obviously, that's the most difficult area in the pitch, isn't it? To create things and, you know, try and score goals and you know, get attempts on goal. Mm-hmm. And we haven't quite clicked yet for some reason or another. But I'm sure we will. We've got every faith in the boys to, you know, to come good very soon. So, you know, we're pretty sure of that. And then it's just taking them the opportunity that we get.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's been a couple of games we've created a lot of opportunities, not took them, and there's been other games where we haven't created any chances really to, you know, on more than one end. So we've just got to get a bit more consistency in the front area, and then we'll be fine, I think.
I just want to go back to a point you made about it being finer margins. You said it's finer margins in this league, and it, as you go up the leagues, it becomes finer and finer margins which decide games. Yeah. Do you think that changes the way you coach, or does it not? Like the way you know, you're talking to the players and that, or?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a way of playing, and you know, know, he's always been successful with Gary throughout the years at the club he's been at. And it's a way that I'm happy with, and I think the game should be played. You know, we're very similar. I think I mentioned it before. You know, we hadn't met before. He came into the job 2 years ago, but we clicked straight away. We had the same ideas, and you know, I think it's it will bring success to the club. Where we go, where we end up with it in the season, is you know not sure, but I'm sure we'll be okay. So we're going to stick with that philosophy, and then. You know, it's just a case of getting the lads mentally tuned into, you know, both boxes become more crucial the higher you go. You know, you can control the game in midfield, but you either win or lose it in either box. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's that, you know, if it's for an attacker, it's that little sharp touch and finish, you know, it's that little sharp movement that you get away from defenders. As a defender, it's switching on all the time and not, you know, not letting forward get the better of you, you know, keeping them in sight, that sort of thing. So, you know, in terms of coaching and the way we are, we'll be exactly the same. It's just a mindset of mentally tuning the boys in, I think, and to be more consistent in their thoughts and, you know, be in the right situations. But I'm sure we'll be fine, Anthony.
All right. Just want to ask generally, what do you hope for the season? Have you got, like, a target as such, or is it just...
Well, you always want to do as well as you can. Our target is to get promoted. You know, it's, we want to go again. That was one thing that we've said early doors is, get promoted, whether that's straight up or through the playoffs. Obviously, you know, like last season, you want to win it and go straight up. And obviously, in this case, you've got the top three that we can get up. So it's just to do as well as you can in every game and see where it takes you. Get as many points as you can on the girls. I think a good gauge is sort of 10 games. So we've played six points. We would like to be better than at the goal of the game. You know, we sort of target, I think, to get in the playoffs, it's like 1.6 or 7. Per game to get in the playoffs, it's 1.8 to 2 to win the league, 2 to get in promoted, to average a game, just 1.8, sorry, to get promoted automatically, and then 1.67 in the playoffs. So, you know, we've got to be looking at those at the minute, and we're averaging 1 at the minute, so it's clearly not where we want to be, but that's, you know, that's the sort of target that we try and look for. It's what the target we had last year, 2 points a game, we were above that. And that one is for me, so we'll be looking to do that again this year.
Okay. Just want to ask a final question about Cheltenham, about in the local area. It must be great having a side, because there's not really anyone else. I guess Bristol or Birmingham is the nearest, like, with a Football League side.
Yeah, it was a Football League club for 16 years, so probably the euphoria isn't as big as it was back then in 1999 when we got promoted. But I think what it has done is made people realise what they lost, you know. You know, losing the Football League club, we probably got a bit blasé about it over the years, and crowds went away a little bit. I mean, granted, some of the football wasn't great at times over those years in the league, but you know, I think going out of the league has made people realise, the fans and everybody, staff members, some of the players that have been involved, it's made them realise what we had and what we lost. And you know, now we've got it back, it's great, and the fans are just enjoying it. I think the board are, you know, and I know. You know, the board haven't put massive pressure on anyone to you know, we've got to do this, you've got to do that. I just think everyone at the minute is happy to get in, we've got to give a good account of ourselves, do our best and see where it goes. So, yeah, there's certainly a buzz around the ground, and, you know, there has been quite a lot of games. And obviously, the higher you go, the more away fans you get as well, which always adds to the atmosphere. You know, very rarely in the conference would you get, you know, fill up behind the away fans in the away end. In this league, you know, you get great travelling support, which adds to the atmosphere of games, and one that we're glad to be obviously back up in the Football League.
All right, well, we'll move on to Cheltenham and move on to the Championship.
Yeah.
Top of the league at the minute, we've got Huddersfield, who have won 4 out of 5, including pretty impressive 2-1 win over Newcastle. They've got new German manager David Wagner in, and it's been a great start for Huddersfield.
Yeah, brilliant, isn't it? 4 wins out of 5, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at their points per game average, 2.6. You know, they get that up, they were champions by a mile. I think, you know, no disrespect to Huddersfield, I think, you know, they probably exceeded how they would probably thought they would start. And again, like I said, it's they've all played 5 games, haven't they? So when you get to another 5 games, and, you know, you probably get a truer reflection of how they're, you know, nearly a quarter of the season gone, you get a truer reflection of where they are. But it's been a fabulous start, yeah. 4 wins out of 5, like I said, and yeah, David Wagner, he's done really well, and I think what they've got there is a big, I mean, he's emphasised a big bond and team spirit, so, you know, I think that's a real, you know, sort of feather in his nest and his cap. cap that he's got that. So, you know, it's great to see him up there, isn't it? I mean, all the massive big teams in that league, and you see Huddersfield at the top, you know, clubbing itself. But when you look at Villas and Newcastle's and that in the East, and crikey, they've done ever so well. So, you know, it'd be great if they could do it. It'd be similar to sort of a Leicester, wouldn't it? You know, last year for Huddersfield, if they won the league and got promoted, it would be sort of a similar sort of success story, really.
It sort of reminds me of Brighton last year, the way they started so well, and you know, they were unbeaten for a long time, and no one expected that last season.
Yeah, they were. I mean, and I think Chris Hughton got manager of the year, didn't he? And they didn't get promoted, so you know, that was a testament to how well they did. And just to keep it going, you know, it's nice to get the points on the board, but to keep that momentum going, and you know, once you sort of don't get one or two results, people start questioning themselves and all, you know, where do we go from here? But no, it would be great to see how long they can keep this run going.
The other team who are unbeaten in Championship, Fulham, are second. They're on 11 points. They've brought in a couple of interesting signings as well. Lucas Piazon from Chelsea, who's been on loan all over the place, and Chris Martin's come in from Derby, so a couple of interesting attacking players there.
Yeah, I like Chris Martin. I think he's a fabulous player. Didn't probably quite work out for him at the end of Derby. He had a good spell there. But it's nice to see Fulham there, and probably another one that wasn't really expected to be in there, you know, second place and 2 points off of Huddersfield. So it was, you know, massive club, obviously. Well, how long have they been out of the Premier League? What, 4 or 5 years now, haven't they? So, yeah. You know, they'll be desperate to get back up and probably been under people's radar. But, you know, they flirted with relegation going back again, haven't they, over the last couple of years. It's Lucas Piazon will be an interesting one from Chelsea. We'll see how he goes. I mean, Chelsea's one of the 30 or 40 players they've got out on loan, so let's hope they get some game time and do the business for them. But big club to get up there, and, you know, it'd be nice to see them pressing back to Premier League play.
Yeah, I've got a stat on that. Chelsea have got 36 players currently out on loan. Piazon's come out this week. He said he's sick of going out on loan and he wants a proper club. He said he's not treated in the same way going out on loan to a club as the players who actually play for that club. I don't know if that's something you could shed some light on, whether that's a true statement or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame if he said that, because you know what we pride ourselves on is that any player that walks through the door and signs for us, whether it's on loan or as a permanent, they have to. You know, we've got to show them, do exactly the same as we do with all the other players, and they've got to buy into what we want to do, you know. So we've had one or two problems with people in the past, and, you know, it hasn't quite worked out, and they've gone back. So, but most of them, like, especially last year, we had terrific loans. We had 4 or 5 terrific loans that came in throughout the season. This year, we've got 2 or 3 who are doing well as well. So, you know, it's really important that you make that loan player feel like he's one of yours. I mean, we signed Issa Sullivan from Aston Villa, England under 19 with 20 internationals. So, you know, and he's coming and done really well for a young lad, and we've got to get him up to speed very quickly with what we want. So, and I think it's important that an on-loan player, and it's a shame that he said that he hasn't felt, you know, at home where he's gone. Sometimes it's the player, sometimes it's the club, sometimes it's a bit of both, and I think you've got to get that togetherness really quickly to make sure that the player, because obviously at the end of the day, you want the player to do well for you. And so it's in both parties' interest to, you know, get on and get things sorted very quickly. So let's hope he can do, you know, just down the road at Fulham, and he's from Chelsea, so, you know, he should be at home still and in familiar surroundings. So hopefully that might be a positive for him to do well.
I guess you can sort of sympathise with him when he's spent the past 4 or 5 years out on loan to all different clubs, and it's
I mean, I think it's important. As a player, I never went out on loan anywhere. I had, you know, I started Arsenal there for 6-7 years. I went abroad for 4 years at the same club. Then I came back and played in the Conference of Dover for 5 years. And then I was at Cheltenham for 6-7 years. So I never, you know, I was fortunate that wherever I went, I had a good stint there and I felt at home. And it's probably, you know, it's getting towards near where Lucas Piazon has got to start, you know, laying down some foundations and making sure that he gets somewhere and does well. Maybe it's Fulham just up the road from Chelsea, who knows?
Yeah.
But either A, he either stays there, or B, gets a permanent move somewhere that he can feel more at home with.
Oh, yeah, we'll move on and look at the sides that have been relegated from the Premier League. We'll start with Newcastle. They're pretty much expected to walk it, but it's not all been as rosy and perfect as we thought it would be for them.
No, I don't know. They lost the first couple, didn't they? I mean, it was probably a case of, still a bit of a shock of going down. We played Newcastle in the Cup a couple of weeks ago, in the EFL Cup, I think it was. There's so many different cups nowadays. The checkered train and something there, and then so we played at Newcastle, and obviously Benitez is really well thought of up there. They were singing his name all through the game. They beat us 2-0. I mean, we played really well that night, and we gifted them both goals. Really, certainly the second one. The first one was a referee's blunder, but I do think they'll be there. You know, he's made some good signings in the referees. He obviously knows the game. He's got some good contacts, so he will get players in that that will do well in that league. And I think I'm hoping that John Joe Shelby does very well. I think he's a good player forward. And they've just sold Sissoko, haven't they, out to Tottenham? So they've lost a big player there, but they've got plenty. And Perez and Tyson was very good on the night. So they've got enough there. I would say that they should get. I think once they get, it's hard to stop that club. I think once it gets going, and what, they're 3 wins in a row now.
Yeah.
And I think that confidence will build, and I'd be very surprised if you didn't see them in the top two. Come for most of the season, but certainly at the end of the season.
I thought a strange signing, Dwight Gayle for $10 million. I thought they maybe overpaid for him a bit. I'm not sure he's that good personally. I don't know.
I like him. I like him very much. He plays off the shoulder. He's like what we call a stretch player, so they're getting behind teams. And he first came to my attention when he went on loan to Dagenham. I don't know if he went on loan or he signed. He was certainly playing for Dagenham against Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to do the Opta stat stuff for the Football League. And, he scored a couple of goals that night at Oxford, which not many people did. And he looked, they came out of nothing. I thought, can't be easy. And I've watched his name ever since, and he's, gradually worked his way up. And, I think he'll be a good player for Newcastle. He will get them goals. He'll get the goals out of nothing. And when we played him, he was on the bench, and we were glad because they had Mitrovic on. And then he came off with a mild concussion, and Gayle come on, and we thought, here we go. He's going to test us now, because he's very lively. And I think he'll be a good player for them. 10 million, I mean, they may pay slightly, but, very good player. And he'll get goals, no doubt, in the Championship. And he could be the one, I think, that we'll see him over the line, I think.
You mentioned Ayoze Perez as well. He's a player I really like myself. I think he's a terrific player. He's got a lot of potential, and he's still young. He's only 22, I think.
Yeah, he's a great player. He played on the left against us, drifted around. He's got two good feet, and he scored both goals. So, he's very good that night, and he actually missed it. He should have scored, actually. He missed one that was about 10 yards out, and just in the key for the beat, and he gloomed it to Rose there. But, very good player. They've got a nice little mix in there that I think they'll do well with Newcastle. Perez, Gayle, and Shelby. If those sort of three can get going, I think Shelby's in and out of the team for a little while, but sure, if he gets his game going, they'll be a real force. And certainly my tip to get promoted at the end of the season, though, it's early days.
I think everyone's tipping them. You mentioned as well, 86 million they've managed to bring in through sales. They've got Wijnaldum out and Sissoko for big fees. Townsend's gone, Jan Matt and Sissoko as well. So I guess they've bought quite well. They've spent about 50 million, but the fact they've recouped the 86 in transfer fees, I guess it's good business overall for them.
Yeah, I think my cash will be well chuffed for that. The 30 million, what are they going for? 1.5?
2 million? He was only cheap, wasn't he? Yeah. He didn't come in for much at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's a massive profit. And he didn't really do particularly well. He only saw towards the end of the season that he started doing well for Newcastle. But, to get, 15 times what they paid for him, it's an absolute great deal for Newcastle. And I mean, Tottenham must be open that he does well for them to warrant paying £30 million. So, and like I said, they 20 or £30 million up on transfer fee. So very good business. And you look at some of the players that have gone, some good players there that have gone out, and I do like him. I think he'll do well at Liverpool. But some good players that have gone, and he's recouped well. So you've got to have every. I think that was a major thing that actually had to do was keep Benitez, because Newcastle. Newcastle, big club, need a big manager, big profile. And I think the fans made it known that they wanted this guy to stay. And that persuaded us, you know, we had a little chat with him afterwards, and I think that was a big thing that he said that persuaded him to stay was the fact that, you know, the fans were so passionate and they wanted him to stay. And I think that they beat Tottenham, didn't they, 5-1? And I think, yeah, he said he had the hairs on the back of his neck stand up to most of the games, which is phenomenal. So, you know, I think that's going to be a factor for him. And, top two, if not, you know, first place for me for Newcastle.
We'll move on to Aston Villa. They brought in Roberto Di Matteo. He's in charge now. I think he's a decent manager. Should do well.
Yeah, they've had a slowish start, haven't they? They brought Bluff and Codger in from
Bristol City.
£15 million. Yeah, so that's the statement that, you know, they're going to go for. Still got a Donahoe there, AU and Kostead. So they've got, you know, McCormack. So they've got decent firepower. And I think at the end of the day, you need firepower to get out of the league. You know, to win any league, you've got to score two or more goals a game. So, and I think they've got that. Di Matteo, again, you know, he's been around the block. He knows the game. So you would expect, you know, the Aston Villa machine to start kicking in. What they mid-table at the minute, aren't they?
16.
A slow one. You would expect them to, you know, to come good in the not too distant future. Only won one out of the five that they've drawn to. But, you know, expect Aston Villa to come good very soon. I think they play, they lost to Bristol City, didn't they? 3-1 recently.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bit of a shock. I think, like Lee Johnson was saying, that they, you know, Villa played them off the park first half, and then Bristol City managed to turn it around and scored three in the second half. So they expect Villa to get out of that table very shortly.
The thing is, they've got that, it's a combined £25 million they've spent for Ross McCormack and Jonathan Codger from Bristol. But I think a bigger sign for them could be Tommy Elphick coming in from Bournemouth.
Yeah, terrific player, isn't he? He's a terrific player. And I'm surprised they let him go, actually. You know, because Richie went to Newcastle, didn't he, as well? You know, two good players for them, I thought. Richie certainly was a very good player. Elphick did well last year, so. Yeah, that's a good signing for them. It's Sunderland and still got Hutton there, the Bakuna Baker. So they've got the nucleus of a good side. So it's just whether, you know, seeing getting it together, and obviously Grealish is still there in midfield, Westwood, Jedinek they signed, haven't they? So it's they've got the, you know, you look at that squad and you go, yeah, that should get at least in the playoffs. And then once you get in the playoffs, I think Villa, you know, size up Villa. Will get on it if they want to run, you know, and can get themselves through that. So some good signings from Di Matteo. It's just a case of mostly getting it together as soon as he can.
Yeah, I think playoffs as well. I think they'll end up in the playoffs. Final club came down from the Premier League, Norwich. Alex Neil obviously still there. They're currently 12th in the league. I guess it's sort of consistency at Norwich. I guess they were kind of. I don't know, they sort of were expecting to go down. They didn't really sign many players, and they've sort of done all right. It's steadied the ship, almost.
Yeah, they're probably people's favourites to go down, weren't they? And again, you look at the forwards, you know, you've got Naismith, Jerome, Lafferty, the ones that stand out for you. Steve Naismith, I think, is a fabulous player. Was probably underused at Everton, but whenever he seemed to play, he scored or did something that affected the game. And you know, with those three, you would say they will get goals, which I think is really important. It's probably similar with Villa in particular, and Newcastle in the first couple of games. It's that initial shock of going down, and you know, once if you get a losing sort of feeling around the club, it's very hard to shake off, and you've got to get it nailed very quickly and get back on, get points on the board. And I think you know, Norwich they're just above Villa, aren't they, at the minute? So you'd expect them to be up and around there, but like I said, you know, put them in times. There's a huge, there's a lot of big clubs in that championship. So you know, it's a big one. You know you've done well if you get promoted from there. That is no fluke, because you bring a lot of big teams. And they've lost their last game, didn't they, Norwich? So that was their first defeat in the five. So up to there, they probably wasn't. You know, they probably thought, this is a good start, and just took the edge off it a little bit, that defeat in their last game. So we sent them in 12th place on 8 points.
Couple of sides, Derby and Reading, who were in playoffs last year. I expected them to do better, but both of them haven't done great, really.
Yeah, it's Derby have had one win, haven't they, in five. Lost two, so and Reading have, they won two and five, haven't they? So just slightly better. Reading, you know, two big managers were a rookie in match stand at Reading, so you know they'll probably be finding his feet a little bit in the Championship, having spent most of his career in the top league. So you know it's probably a bit of an eye opener for him at times. We just got a lad on loan from Reading, Rob Dickey, who was with us last season and was one of the the loan signings that I said was very good for us last year. And he seems to think they're going to be in and around the playoffs. And he said, he's quite confident that they're going to do quite well this year. So we'll see where that one goes. And Derby, you've got the vast experience, Nigel Pearson, haven't they? So a lot of Leicester's success last year can largely go down to some of his signings, quite a few of his signings that did really well. Claudio Ranieri made him click and pushed him over the line. So it's you look at Derby, they've got some good attacking options there. Vineman's a decent player, Wilson, they've signed, haven't they? Kamara, Ben, there's players there that if you get them going, they're going to score your goals, and I think it's so important, like I said earlier. So, two big clubs that haven't signed that well, and you look at Leeds as well, another one in the fourth department. How long Cialini's going to put up with that, I don't know, we'll see. But, Derby and Reading, you'd expect to see them up. Pushing up again, getting towards the playoffs, I would say.
It's the manager I find really interesting. In Jaap Stam's case, how he'll adapt, because he had, the reputation as a player as the hard man. I don't know what he's like as a manager, whether he's the same as that or not. And then Gary Monk, who obviously had his... He did all right at Swansea. I thought it was a bit harsh, his sacking. And, he's got a lot to prove, I think, at Leeds.
Yeah, I think in Leeds in itself, tough job to take at the moment. You wouldn't turn it down, obviously. Gary Martin did tremendously well at Swansea for the majority of the time. And as his football management, what did he have? 8 bad games, I think he won 1-8, something like that. And he ended up being relieved of his job. So, he was confident himself he was going to turn it around. But he's found himself at Leeds, so never an easy place to, not an easy place to be in at the moment, with what's going on there over there the last few years. But, if he can turn that round, then I'm sure he'll be lauded up there by the fans, and it's a Premier League club, isn't it, without doubt. So, difficult one for him. And then I've not really spoke to Rob too much about Jaap Stam. He said he's very good. His coaching is very good. So I think he's been at Ajax as well, so coaching throughout their system for a bit, and he's been around at a few clubs and observed and got involved. So. But obviously, once you step over that line and become a manager, it's kettle of fish, really, and it's your name on the door, so to speak. And he said he's confident in him and the team, progressing up the table. So we'll see where that goes. It's an interesting one. That the first appointment, it's quite a big job, isn't it? Really? So, it'll be an interesting one. That.
Another team I want to mention, Wolves, they've brought in quite a few foreign players. They've brought in Carvalero, Monaco winger, Ola John and Silvio at Helder Costa. They've brought in quite a lot of foreigners. Just be interested what you think about them playing in the Championship, whether it's... Because it's a completely different game, the Championship's playing in Europe.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. You've got to get the right the right blend, I think. It's certainly a gamble, isn't it? Where that one's going to go. They started off okay, haven't they? They're ninth and they're 8 points. They're in too bad a start, really, with the new signings in. So, and I think what you've got to do is get the foreign players into the English way and, the pace of the game and the physicality that goes on and, everything, the passion involved in it. So, if you can get that mentality right in the early, then you've got a decent chance. And there's some good signings there, so we'll see where that one goes. And obviously Kenny Jackett lost his job just before the start of the season, so that's not the ideal way to go into a season with. But we'll look at Wolves with I've got a lot of friends at Wolves in the staff, and we had Jonathan Flatt there, the number two, was your number two and number three there, that the goalkeeper. He did very well for us towards the end of the season, and Dylan got injured. But I always look at them. I know the goalkeeping coach and a couple of other people on the staff in the backroom staff. So interesting one, and the club always look at. And it's about time. I don't know, they've been down. It's good, must be a good 4 or 5 again, isn't it? And it's about time they started really pushing and getting in the playoffs at least. Trying to get themselves back in the Premier League.
couple of interesting signings recently. I'll start with the one which went through today. Nicholas Bentner joining Nottingham Forest, formerly at Arsenal, and then went to Germany with Wolfsburg. I think he'll do quite well in the Championship if he can get his head straight.
You just said it, Andy, yeah. I've watched Nicholas Bentner from the Arsenal soccer school days. Been around the club, mid-2000s, and he was an acquired taste for Bentner. Sometimes he'd be outstanding, other times you wouldn't see it. I don't think he was always the fans' favourite, to say the least. The fact he had 52 on his back, which, signified what he was earning a week, didn't adhere into the fans very well, especially when he wasn't performing. And he's got into a number of scrapes in the over the years, and things come up in papers about him, and getting engaged to hairesses, and this, that, and the other. And he's had to go away and come back. I think it's probably last chance saloon for him, if I'm honest. I'm not sure where it's going to go from here if he doesn't do it.
Yeah.
He hasn't really done well. He had a great move to Juventus, didn't he? Which his agent must have been the agent of the year for that.
Yeah.
Great move there. He didn't play very often, but just still to go there was astonishing, really. And then, like I said, Wolfsburg, I think he played 31 times in a couple of years for Wolfsburg. So if he comes off, he's a great signing. He's great in the air, good old up, got good touch. He's had a decent number of caps for Denmark. I think 60s or 70s, isn't it? So he's no slouch.
Yeah.
He'll be a good one for Forest if they can get him. Going well and getting his, get his head right. I think they've got a player that could get him into the playoffs, certainly.
You say his shirt number. Said his shirt number was 52 at Arsenal. I don't know. I didn't see what his shirt number was at Forest.
I don't know. Yeah, it's probably something like 15. I don't know what it is. Yeah, we'll see that one. He's a character. I think he'll get the fans going initially, but obviously he's got to back that up with performances, and they've got a tough one over there, where Villa to start with at the weekend. So that'd be a good one for him to get into.
Mm-hmm. Ricky Lambert's joined Cardiff City as well. I think he'll do quite well in the Championship. I think he's still got something to offer despite his age.
I like Ricky Lambert. Good player. And I remember, playing against him as a Rochdale many years ago. And, they needed him, didn't they? Just, you look at their forwards, Cardiff, there isn't too much there. So, apart from him, I think, they obviously need him. He's had a good experience, and he's going to Liverpool playing for England. That's going to give him, got a bit of belief about himself. So, and they need to get going pretty quick, Cardiff. They've got Norwich away at the weekend. Mm-hmm. They need to start picking up some points. Five points from five games, that's, as we stand, that sort of relegation material, isn't it? So 1 point a game, so, I'm sure they'll. And once that club gets going again, they'll have ambitions, obviously, of getting back to the Premier League as soon as they can, a lot of these teams. So, good signing. I'll give you that. A good signing, if you remember.
Talking about relegation material, Owen Coyle's struggling a bit at Blackburn. They've only got 1 point, and I think they're the only side in the Championship without a win. It's been a terrible start.
Play football in the right way. So, we've got back in the league and at Burnley. It's a tough one when you're down there. I'll just keep going with it and you change the ways and, try and play a more direct route. We'll see where that goes. So, you have all your ideas at the start of the season, and within 5 or 6 games, things aren't going right and you start to question it. Do you change it or do you keep your beliefs? So, it's a tough one, isn't it, for clubs at the bottom to get the sales going and get some points and get them up the table. We'll see where that goes. Well, it's a huge club, isn't it, Blackburn Rovers, to be bottom of the Championship. I'm pretty sure, though, they won't be there too long.
No, you wouldn't think so. We'll look at a huge club that did go down to League One. Bolton. Bolton have recovered, reacted well to going down. They've. I think in the transfer window they've done quite well. Like similar to Newcastle, almost they've got rid of a lot of big earners off the wage bill, and they're now top of the league.
Yeah, it's done very well, haven't they? To start with, are they not unbeaten? Are they 14? They've got 14 points.
Yeah, they're unbeaten. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's fabulous start for them. And I think I'm right in saying I think they were one of the they're the most business. Along with Oldham, I think. Is that right? In the chance I'm sure I read it somewhere that, you know, turnaround of players, them and Oldham were the biggest two in the whole of the Football League. So it's a great start. Well, they got off with four wins, didn't they? In the last two. So it's Jury Southend in the last game. But yeah, fabulous club. I mean, that club's got to get back up from Championship this season. It's, you know, imperative for them to do that. And we'll give themselves a great chance to get it going, don't they? To get themselves in there. So it's nice to see. They've got MK Dons at home at the weekend, and a game you would say, you know, they've got to be looking at 3 points from that. But we'll see. They're signing Sammy Obi, haven't they? So
Sammy Obi,
yeah, that's a good signing. And another one with a bit of experience and knows, you know, the game at a higher level. So he could be a big player for them.
It kind of reminds me of Wigan last year. Wigan obviously going down to League One, and then they had a great season last year and ended up going straight back up.
Yeah, I think it's a must for teams like Bolton to get, you know, they've got to get back up. They've got to see this season as a year to rebuild and get some success back into the club. You know, I said about a losing feeling in the club. They've had that for a couple of years, haven't they? They've gone down and down. Now it's a big time for them to, not feel like we did at Cheltenham, to get that winning feeling back in at the club, get people feeling good about themselves, get the right players in. And they've certainly given themselves a good start, you know, 14 points in 6 games. That's you know, obviously part of winning stuff. So they can keep that going and keep the big players like Andy Obi happy and scoring and, you know, affecting games. And, you know, they'd be certain to go up, I think.
Yeah. Want to give a mention to Northampton Town, who have now gone 30 games unbeaten. They drew their first 5 games this season, and now they've won their first game. They beat MK Dons 3-2. It's a strange start, but 30 games unbeaten is not a record to be sniffed at.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Chris Wilder obviously left them and went to Sheffield United, and they find themselves above them, don't they, now? Rob Page just took over, and like I said, 5 draws. And I didn't know that stat until I watched the game last Friday. And, you know, it wasn't until the end of the game. And they said, oh, yeah, no, it's just 30 games unbeaten. And, you know, they beat MK Dons, didn't they, 3-2, which is, you know, 5 draws and a trot. And that's 30 games now. You think, like, you know, cause when you look at where they were in the table, the two didn't meet up. But when you saw what they drew 5 and, you know, won their first game of the season after 6, then that sort of all fell into place. But, yeah, I mean, big club, Northampton. They could quite easily, you know, hold their own in this league. There's some decent money there flying about. And, you know, they're the chap the right players, and hopefully Rob Page can keep them going. And, like you said, 30 games up there. I think there's only 5 or 6 clubs in the whole of the Football League now that haven't lost them. I think it's Carlisle and our league. There's Bolton, Bradford, Northampton in here, and
Huddersfield, Fulham.
Huddersfield, yeah. So there's just that 5 or 6 in here. Yeah, so, but there, you know, Northampton are one out there. Yeah, so 30 games. That's tricky. That is going to be.
It's going to be a good scrap for who's going to go up in League One. It's a pretty difficult league to call, I think. There's not really anyone who stands out to me as, apart from Bolton, who I'd expect to go up. Other than that, it's difficult to try and call.
You'd expect them to, you know, you'd expect Bolton to be the one. And then, you know, you look at that. Like I said, I think last 10 games you get a better idea of who's going to be in and around it. A good friend of mine, Brian McCann at Peterborough, has done well. He's got them in the playoffs after 6 games, and you know, that's not a bad start for him. I think he'd probably like a bit more consistency in his results, because they've got to lose one, win one, draw one, win one. You know, they're a bit like that in a minute, but you know, he's got to be pleased with that. And then Millwall were in there, aren't they? Bradford, a big club, Millwall, Fleetwood have done well. You know, they've got, you know, for a relatively new Football League club, there's quite a bit of money at Fleetwood, so they can have a real go at it. And then Justin Edinburgh at Gillingham, they threw away, you know, a lead the other day, didn't they? And penalty, wasn't it, that young Josh Pask, I think it was, gave away to give Sheffield United the win. So it's a tough league, that one, to call up here. It's very tough. And you've got Charlton in 10th, just purring along, just getting going now. I mean, we played Charlton and Dawson and beat them in the Cup, in the EFL Cup. But since then, they've done really well. And I think we probably kicked them into a bit of form and kicked them into gear. So I think they've been unbeaten since then. So fair play for them.
All right, we'll move on to League Two. I guess Luton are the big story. They're top of the league on 13 points.
Yeah.
Not really something I expected either, to be honest.
No, they started really well, and you know, they've got 14 goals in 6 games. That says a lot, and that says that they've got firepower. And in particular, the player for me, Danny Hilton, I think he's a fabulous signing. Watched him a lot. Obviously, the game when I was doing the old Oxford stuff, and he's a really good player. Scored a hat-trick at the weekend, I think, for them. So they're gonna.
Nathan Jones, for the manager, it's his first season as a manager. He was working at Brighton for a few years, so it was a bit of an unknown quantity as well.
Yeah, he's renowned for being a good coach. I think he was at Yeovil with Gary for a while, and he sort of dipped in and out, hasn't he, as a first team manager. I'm not sure where it was, but he had a little spell as a first team manager, and that, like I said, Brighton, he's been there. And it's always. You know, I think you've got to try and, the first real managerial job you do, you've got to try and do it well, give yourself a chance to stay in the game. So, and he certainly, you know, with Luton, they've got the history, the condition, the infrastructure, the fans. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a stadium that holds, 12,000-15,000, that stadium feels like there's 3 times it in there when they get going. And it can be quite intimidating. So, you know, they're going to take some stopping, I think, this year. And, Nathan's done really well with his recruitment.
Looking at teams who aren't doing so well, Accrington are a side, they were in the playoffs last year and now they're 21st, only got 5 points. It's been a bad start to the season for them, and I expected them to be competing.
Yeah, it was a strange one, that, really. Yeah, I don't think they'll be down there very long. I've got Billy Key up front. I think he's going to always score a goal. He's scored goals when he was particularly at Burton and other places, and things at Mansfield he scored. And, you know, they're going to be, I'm sure they're going to start getting up the table. Eagles in midfield, and they've been around. They've signed Zach Viner from Bristol City. Beckles, I like him. Omar Beckles, who was a player from centre back from Aldershot. Really impressed me. So, you know, I can't see them staying there too long. They've got Notts County right at the weekend, so that one they've got 5 points from 6 games. I would say, John Carr will get that lot going and get them up the table pretty soon. And like you said, so what were they, a minute or two away from getting into League One, weren't they? Bristol Rovers nicked it, and here they are now, fourth to bottom in League Two. They must be thinking, oh, what if only, you know, and what if, but expect them to start rising the table. I won't feel down there too long.
I guess missing out like that must really affect the side psychologically.
It must have some effect. I mean, everyone will say, no, we've got to get on with it, but, you know, and then you sort of have a couple of indifferent results, and then, you know, it becomes a little bit more difficult. But, John Carmel's been around for years, and he knows the score, and they've done a fabulous job there, because, you know, Atkinson is probably not the biggest or the most wealthiest club in the league, by any means, a bit like us, really. So, to get them within that, you know, inches away from League One was a fantastic achievement. And I'm sure he's sort of said to the players, you know, remember this feeling and we don't want it again next year. Let's go and win it or get in, you know, get ourselves up for sure.
The other team, Sean Derry's Cambridge side, are at bottom of the league at the moment. Again, something I didn't expect. I think they were 8th last year, just missed out on the playoffs, and now this year, bottom of the league, and bad start for them.
Kind of, like I just said, with Atkinson, a little bit of a hangover from doing well the season before. We had it at Cheltenham a few years back. We got in the playoffs, and then, you know, the next season after that, we didn't do quite as well. And then the season after that, we were relegated. were sitting at Torquay as well. They were up there and then got relegated. So I'm sure, you know, Sean's very gelled there, and I'm sure he'd be getting everyone going and trying to get them on the same wavelength. And they've signed a great player actually from Accrington in Goya. Lovely player, he's really got great ability, and I'm sure if he starts supplying forward, you know, they're going to get some goals in the Burt.
There's just one final question I want to ask you about. There's been a change to the loan system in the Football League. Now, with the emergency loan, its FIFA rules have changed it, so only goalkeepers can move on seven-day loans. I just wondered what you thought of it, because I know Ian Holloway's on Sky has had a bit of a go about it.
Yeah, certainly with regard to this year, the Chequers Trade Trophy, they sort of tied your hands a little bit with, you know, you can't sign players, but you've got to play so many players in from the week before, the week after in the team. You know, you can't put a so-called second team out, but if they're in the squad, then they're good enough anyway. So you can't sign any more players, but yet they could get injured in these extra games we've got. So for the lesser clubs, it's not great, I don't think. You've got to get your recruitment right. You've got to be sure on a player when you sign him, because you've got him until January at least. And you know, it is a difficult one, because there could be clubs that have got players there that are, you know, they're not going to play and they can't send them back, and you know, the player doesn't do the player any service. You know, he's only going to get disheartened and not perform, and then, you know, I'm not so sure. I think there should be, I think it should have stayed as it was, really, personally, and I probably agree. There's no sort of fluidity in it, and the clubs are going to record players, and some players ain't going to play it. That's the way it's going to be, and some clubs are going to be short, so, you know, they're going to leave themselves short, you get three or four injuries, and then you're really threadbare, you know, and it's a difficult one. And like I said, with this extra game in the Chequers Trade Trophy, where you've got two or three extra games, then it doesn't do clubs that have got small squads any favours, really. But I don't know whether it's here to stay or whether it's 1 year tryout. I probably think it's probably here to stay, but we'll see where it goes and what happens. But I would probably stick with what we had, I think, before, where you can sign a player for a month and send him back. And, you know, it just gives you a little bit more leeway with your signings, really, but now you've got to be so sure on what you get.
Do you think, because what FIFA have said is it protects sport and integrity with, you know, players moving around, and do you think there's any sort of messing about like that, you know, players going around to help teams get promoted right at the end and all that sort of?
Yeah, there is that. I mean, it certainly makes you study more. You know, you've got to make sure that you get the right player. And I'm all for playing, staying at, like I said back when I was in my career, I was the one that flitted around, and I do think there's the stability of players has gone out. You know, you don't see many contested moments. Back in the day when I was playing, there would be a lot of players at clubs for quite a number of years, and they would be getting testimonials. Now you don't, you know, it's a rarity now, a testimonial. And it goes some way towards doing it, you know, but with the introduction of agents and things, you know. Intermediaries here and everywhere, you know, it's within everyone's interest to get a move, so to get some money, and you know, to better themselves. We'll all try and better ourselves, but you know, it may stop that, and it may bring a bit of stability to what it will do, because players can't move, you know, during that time. And, but I also think that you know, I've probably been thinking of myself here a little bit. You've got to, if they bring that in for players, then you've got to have it for player staff as well. I think you know, there's got to be a, you know, if staff can't get any players in now from in that 5, 4, 5, 6 months, then I think staff should be able to be seen, to be able to, you know, work with who they've got over that time at least, if not the season, and, you know, make sure that there is management stability as well. I think that's even more important than players' stability. Management stability, I think the game's gone crazy.
Yeah.
You look at rugby you know, teams don't sack managers or coaches in a season. It's got to be something absolutely horrendous for them to do that. They see the season out, and you know, they give the coach or the head coach, whatever it is, title is just a full season to see it through, really. And I think that's got to be important as well as player stability. I think you've got to have management and staff stability as well.
Okay. I think we've reached the end of the show, unless there's anything else you'd like to mention.
No, that's fine. No, it's great. Enjoyed it.
Alright, nice one. You can check out our new website, v2football.com, or follow us on Twitter at v2football. You can follow Ross at Ross Milton on Twitter as well. It's good night from me, and good night from Ross.
Cheers, Andy. Thanks a lot. Good night.